As the summer continues to roll along, we continue to bring you some interesting ways to get through the summer as we'll have our summer story sessions. Eric Stone Street was last Thursday. We'll let you know as the week progresses who will be this Thursday, but also every Monday will be Mac's movie review as he is going to start watching more and more movies to get caught up on some movies that maybe we've seen. And we decided to go with Full Metal Jacket, the Stanley Kubrick film.
Started off hot, baby.
Hot. The first 45 minutes of that thing are, Dusty and I talk about it all the time. At least once a week, we talk about that movie, about the most intense 45 minutes that you'll ever experience in a movie this side of Saving Private Ryan, you know?
Yeah, a different kind of intensity than Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Because I love Saving Private Ryan. One of my favorite movies, definitely my favorite war movie. And I'll just, you know, start off, wouldn't put it near Saving Private Ryan. No offense. I loved it. Really good movie. I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it. I liked it. Good movie. Not a great movie, in my opinion. That's not because it wasn't cinematically fantastic, because Kubrick had a couple
Stanley Kubrick.
I mean, my gosh, there were a couple shots that, like, were meant so much about the plot of the film or that character. If you just paused it, you could, like, you know, dissect it for 10 minutes about what he's meaning just in one shot. So cinematically, obviously an incredible film, but just wasn't my cup of tea in a lot of ways. Loved the first 45 minutes. Honestly, could make that a short film and have that be a 5-star short film in and of itself.
I am with you 1,000% on that. That is a great kind of pull by you, take by you, because that's kind of the way that I think. I think Dusty thinks that way. Like, that, the first 45 minutes of that thing, man, it's a completely different movie than what happens afterwards.
I'd like to I'm going to rewatch the second half.
Mm-hmm. You should.
Because, not that I didn't enjoy it. I think there's a lot to gain and a lot to gather. There's a lot going on there. And I think another thing is, I when that movie came out, I was thinking about if I had watched that, if I was alive when that came out and I was with people who were in Vietnam watching that movie, that would hit a lot closer to home, knowing more people who had been there. I really appreciated at least what I felt like Kubrick was trying to do, and kind of gain a lot of those bring a lot of that messaging that those guys had, a lot of those feelings and emotions, a lot of experiences those guys felt back home through the film. So I felt like that was a,
and I think also too, for some of the younger generation out there, the Vietnam War was obviously a very controversial war. And my dad, you know, talks about it all the time when the draft happened, and his draft number, he was like 3-something. So he was way down the list. Thank goodness his cousin Jimmy went over there, was killed. And we just saw his name on the Vietnam War Memorial last week when we were in Washington, D.C. And so you look at stuff like that, and it puts it into perspective. And so for a guy like me who's pushing 50 right now, when that movie came out, I was dealing with a dad who was younger than me, who saw his friends go to Vietnam, who saw his cousin killed in Vietnam, who that was their life. I mean, think about being 18 to 22 years old and then think about having your friends off at war and fighting a war that nobody in America agreed with at the time. Nobody wanted to be fighting that war. And so there were a lot of protests. It was nasty. We all know, you know, what the 60s were like. And so when those guys came back from Vietnam, they weren't treated great here in the United States. And they're still struggling with that today because they went and fought this war that nobody in the United States wanted to be fighting. And so they were looked at as lepers, for lack of a better term, when they came back. And it wasn't their fault. The troops didn't do anything. They were drafted in all of this. And so it just hit so many just different cultural things of what was going on at the time. And a lot of those people that movie was geared for either were over there or had friends that were over there or lived through that time of their life. And it meant so much to them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely two different films, because the opening is obviously they're getting their head shaved as they get prepared to go to boot camp and they're playing Goodbye, My Darling, Hello, Vietnam. Yep. And then you have Arlie Ermey, who was a former gunnery sergeant of Vietnam. And I believe, as we can get into Cliff Clavin's notes here, I believe that when Kubrick decided to go with him as the leader, he said, I want you to do exactly what you went through. I don't care this Hollywood. I don't care these are actors. Be what you were. And you see that kind of play out as he goes out there and he's like, yeah, there's no racial bigotry here. Like, everybody's equally worthless. And then he calls the African-American soldier Snowball. And you're like, wait, what? And it's like, this is what they did. Like, this was how they prepped these kids, literally kids, going into a foreign land that they knew nothing about. You know, obviously the Viet Cong were under, you know, tunnels and popping out in random spots. And then the second half of the movie, you kind of understand why a lot of these guys were mentally just checked out on life. One, you had all the drugs that they were doing in the jungle with heroin and whatever it might have been out there.
Anything to get you through that crap, bro.
Right. And then you had, you know, the end scene when they're in the bombed town and they're getting sniped and they're like, where is this coming from? And they figure it out. And then you see when they go and ambush the room, it's like a 15-year-old girl.
Yep.
And you're like, that's what some of the things that happened. And then you go back to these guys being kids, and in unison to finish out the movie, they're singing the Mickey Mouse theme song. And you're like, why are they singing this? Because this is how they could connect. This is how they were all like, let's go to our happy place, right? Like when I was a kid and I had nightmares, I'd sing It's a Small World After All over and over and over my head to just go to bed and put my brain to sleep. And then you watch like the scene in the helicopter where the guy's like, get some. You're like, that guy's sick.
Yeah.
But those guys existed. Whereas like the other guy in the chopper is like puking and like can barely do it. And he's a photographer for Matthew Modine, who plays Private Joker and all that sort of stuff. And then you have guys that go into it and like they're doing their, you know, announcements of what they're going to be in the war. And Matthew Modine is communications. And like, he's like, communications, you trying to be a writer? Sir, yes, sir. I want to write and take everything that goes on in this, but you also might have to put your helmet on and grab your gun. And it was just very interesting to me to watch that movie. Cause like everyone who watches that, the first 45 minutes, you're like, holy cow, the jelly donut scene, the bathroom scene where he's like, I am in a world of blank. And he just starts going in as a drill sergeant, in. And then obviously, you know how that scene ends up. And then it's like, boom, okay, this was boot camp. Now you're into the war.
Now you're into the war. Yeah. I wonder how many times, and I'm sure there's probably stories written about this, they've had to stop filming on that set because he took it too far as the drill sergeant. Like, we're like, all right, dude, like, you need a deep breath here. Like, was he able to go from gunnery sergeant to actor? You know, was he able to make that transition? It's like a football player when they go off the football field. You got to keep that violence on the field. Can you make that transition to being a normal person off the field? Sometimes it's very tough. So was he able to make that transition? Like Kubrick's like, all right, dude, you need to calm down a little bit. Do you think he's yelling at Kubrick and like doing that whole thing? I would have loved to have been behind the scenes on that.
Crazy.
But that's why that first 45 minutes was so damn effective, because they didn't go out and get an actor. They went out and got a real life person and said, you do you. And boy, did he do him.
And it has your typical like Kubrick film, like the green floor with like the red walls. And then, you know, he did The Shining, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got the red carpet in that movie. You watch 2001 A Space Odyssey. That movie has a lot of typical Kubrick stuff in it as well. Just overall, really like polarizing film. So I'm glad that you got that one out of your way.
Yeah. No, it's good. And now that I've seen all three of his main movies, which is good too. So can start kind of marking off more Kubrick films.
It's my rifle. This is my gun.
This is for shooting. This is for fun.
It was intense, man.
Private Pyle!
How are you when they
are you from Texas?
Are you,
theirs.
Yeah, Private Cowboy is from Texas. How tall are you, Private? 5'9". I didn't know they stacked.
Boy, stack.
What'd you think of the scene where they put the soap in the sock?
Oh, God, bro.
Man,
I have tried to help Private Pyle, but I have failed.
Yeah.
Now you will soak in the punishments that Private Pyle has. You brought it, you eat it. On your faces, ladies. Mm-hmm. And then, all right, there's the message. And then he's just gone.
Yeah,
you
broke
see his
him.
Eyes and everything. Oh, like
they
that.
Broke that guy. When you see that shot of him with the crazy eyes,
it's
that was like that. That's as real as it gets, you know.
Yeah, it was really, really well done by that Private Pyle guy.
The hell that these guys, these GIs went through in Vietnam and boot camp. And it, again, they didn't sign up for this. It's not like they said out of high school, I'm going to ROTC or I'm going to go to, you know, to West Point or Annapolis or someplace like that where you're going and you're doing this on your own. These guys were all put there because the government told them to be there. And so now you've got soldiers fighting a war that have no interest in being over there and fighting and doing all of this. How well do you think that's going to go?
Somebody says, I'm a Marine veteran of the wars in the Middle East, and Full Metal Jacket is one of the most accurate war films of all time. Boot Camp is so accurate, and the war stuff is too. Arlie Ermey was perfect.
Yeah, the great casting, and you start to think about people who were cast in roles in movie history. It's one of the best of all time when it comes to casting.
Now what you need to do is watch Saving Silverman, because Arlie Ermey is in that as well. And they pay homage to his character in Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
R.I.P. to Arlie Ermey, who's no longer with us. Coming up next, Bob was at KU yesterday, plus Manny Machado spoke about analytics here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.